You're listening to The Aaron Carrera Show. And now your host, Aaron Carrera.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It is Thursday, April 18th, 10:02 a.m., and you are listening to The Aaron Carrera Show. Yay! I'm giving myself my own Kermit the Frog. Yay! Kind of introduction, because that's, you know, kind of the mood I'm in. It's not easy being green, having to spend each day the color of the trees. But I think it could be nicer being red or yellow or something much more colorful like that, right? I think I got a word wrong, but whatever. You all can be patient with me and my incorrectness. So hey, what's going on, friends? It's Thursday, April 18th, and It is a gloomy, gloomy Thursday here where I'm looking at a gray sky, and I am going to be talking today about what we do when it's just not fun, right? What do you do when life just isn't going your way? And it's different, although related to when life is really hard. What I'm about to say is going to be shocking, but I feel you'll all understand what I mean. Sometimes it's actually easier when life is really hard. Because when life is actually very hard, you have no choice but to surrender to spirit. You have no choice but to be very present to the moment, but to be grateful for the little things. It's when it's things that are sort of kind of hard for a long time or just kind of not going your way, kind of grumpy, gloomy, kind of, right? And also, one of the things I want to talk about today is about what we do when it's kind of chronic, right? I personally have chronic pain. I've talked about it a little bit on the show. Sometimes it's better and sometimes it's worse. And I've tried a zillion different things, right? I've tried everything from different therapies to healers to food to supplements to... I've never gotten bone surgery, so I haven't tried that yet. But I've tried less by way of Western medical. I'm not opposed to it. I just am sort of trying to wait till the last possible minute on things like somebody suggesting surgery, because I don't know that that will actually help my particular issue anyway, although maybe it would, and I'm being a fool. I also need good insurance for that, but that's a whole other discussion. So everybody, let's take a deep breath in. Just lean back in your chairs or just sit back for a moment. I want to talk about all this. Like, you know, a lot of folks in the world of spirituality, they get really freaked out about not being positive. And sometimes it's not about being positive, right? I understand the value of being mindful of our language, of not limiting ourselves, of not infecting other people with our negativity, of not being toxic, of not allowing toxicity into our lives. But we just can't be, you know, Disneyland representatives every day, right? And besides, of course, anyone who knows anything about the underbelly of Disneyland just knows it is fun. A lot of people really do like working there, but it's not exactly a free-for-all either. Like, they got a lot of rules and a lot of things. Anyway, I'm a big fan. I'm not trying to slam them. I'm a big fan, but... So how do we maintain our spiritual, heartfelt, soulful selves in the face of, I'm cranky, I'm crabby, I'm tired. I don't know why. The energy is weird. My husband's being a jerk. He's not, but he certainly didn't take out the trash like he was supposed to. But right. Or like, I have chronic pain. All the little details are adding up, making me feel like, meh. Right. And there's so many ways, of course, to deal with these things. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So everybody, just for a moment, if you can, just take a nice, long, slow, deep breath in and out and let it go with the sound. Ah. Oh, that's my sound today of release. What's your sound? Let's do it again. Ready? Any sound or no, whatever comes out. Ready? Nice, long, slow, deep breath in. Close your eyes and let it go. Whew. Now I want you to just take your hands and massage your heart for a second. And you're just going to say, "Hey, heart, I love you." And any energy, any negative energy, any crabbiness, any crankiness, any pain, any sorrow, any gloomy bits, any just dark, shadowy bits. They're not wrong to have those feelings, but things that I just don't feel comfortable with, things that are just bringing me down, things that I might bring others down, anything toxic. The key is that it's toxic. I just want you to leave my body, whether it's from my left leg, right leg, left arm, right arm, my root chakra, my pelvic girdle, my lower belly, my left side, my right side, my upper belly, my left chest, my right chest, my left back, my right back, my head. It's all going to come out through the heart and into my hands. And now I'm cupping my hands and bringing my hands away from the heart. And I've got all that energy and it's in my hands. And I see an angel coming forward with a purple vacuum cleaner. And the angel's coming and they're going to just suck all that negative energy right up in this purple vacuum cleaner, and that purple vacuum cleaner will recycle it. So take a nice, long, slow, deep breath in. And as you exhale, you're going to blow any of the remnants of that energy out of your hands and up into the purple vacuum cleaner. Ready? And that purple vacuum cleaner, you don't need to worry. All that energy is just going to go be recycled. It's like using fertilizer on your garden. It's going to help the next energetic thing grow beautifully. It's springtime, right? In my neighborhood, the roses are giant and beautiful. The bougainvillea, or however you say it, bougainvillea, it's so beautiful right now. Oh my gosh, there's these different varieties. There's light pinks and dark pinks and almost like a gorgeous wine red in my neighborhood, almost purplish. There's all these beautiful flowers in bloom, the orange blossoms and the orange trees. One of my neighbors has a little mini orange grove in her yard, and oh, the smell of those orange blossoms is so beautiful. You see, already I'm dealing with my chronic crabbiness that I've dealt with for over 40 years now, and my chronic pain by being connected to nature, by releasing it, by being in appreciation for what I do have, what I am surrounded by, right? Now, does this make the chronic pain go away? No. But as we discuss, as we start getting into various ways to deal with ourselves, right? To manage our minds around the crappy stuff we don't like in life, to manage how we are going to cope and get through a day that isn't super happy, right? We're going to start discussing tactics, but I think the number one thing is to remain open. To remain open to spirit. To remain open to love. To open your heart. Cue Madonna. Open your heart to me, darling. That's one of my favorite Madonna songs. And I, for one, think it's cool that she's doing her face. I know everybody's up in a roar. Not because I want to do that, because I think it's cool that she's messing with audiences. It's just like she's always done. She's just always, pardon my language, fucked with the people. Fucked with status quo. I love her. I love her. Because it's like, yeah, of course that's what she would do. Of course, Madonna. I digress. Appreciating, right? Staying open to the idea that you don't have to do all the work yourself. That spirit can help you with that chronic pain. That spirit can help you release you. That you can let go a little, right? That you can let go. There's this poem by Rumi. Of course, I think I have it memorized. Very little grows on jagged rock. Be ground, be crumbled. So wildflowers will come up where you are.
You have been stony for too many years. Try something different. Surrender. Surrender, right? Surrender, surrender, surrender. It's really difficult. It's easy when things are really hard. It's easy when you're really sick to surrender. I mean, it's easy when somebody is going through something very difficult to say, to throw your hands up to spirit and say, "Spirit, I can't do this anymore. I hand this over to you. I can't do this anymore." It's kind of easy when you hit rock bottom, although not that easy, because of course the point of bottom is that it's really, really bad. But you hit a bottom so bad that you can say, "Spirit, I can't do it anymore. I give myself to you. I give this issue to you. I give this problem to you. I give," right? But how often in our day do we say, "Spirit, I give this headache to you. I give this neck pain to you. I give this chronic pain in my arms and hands and fingers to you. I give this crankiness to you. I give my frustration with my dirty kitchen to you. I give my things that I want to be different in my overpacked house full of stuff that I have to clean up because I'm starting to look like a hoarder and soon they're going to do a reality show on me. I give that to you. Please help me clear out my place. I give my opinions about everything I just said to you. I give my career goals to you. I give my paycheck to you. I give my taxes to you. I give this meal to you. Thank you. Please feed my hunger and restore my right." I mean, do we do this all the time? No, of course not. Like, we're not crazy. Well, maybe a few of us do, right? But when we're cranky or things just aren't going our way, right? Even if it's just not that great a day, that Rumi poem, "Be ground." Right? Be ground, be crumbled. Be ground, be crumbled. Because as Leonard Cohen says, where the cracks are, that's where the light gets through. Be ground, be crumbled. Let the wildflowers sprout up through you. Right? So, how do we deal? What do? If you all want to come chat with me, on Facebook, by the way, please do. If you're on 12radio.com, you just click on chat with us on Facebook. It'll bring you to our group, 12 Radio Group on Facebook. You'll see, if you're listening live, you'll see my picture posted to the top, my banner posted at the top of the page, and in the comments section below, that's where we are chatting. All right. And you can tell me your crabby blues. I got the crabby blues because Aaron's singing a weird song that comes from nowhere. I don't even know what Good morning, everybody. So, okay, the number one thing I feel when we're dealing with whatever it is that's not going our way is to have a little latitude about about life, right? I was talking with Jay, my lovely producer Jay, before the show about how I fall into this idea that life is supposed to just keep getting easier and better, and the truth is my life does keep getting better and better, although some things get harder, right? But life is supposed to just get easier and easier, and if it's not, there's something wrong with us. We did something wrong. We're not doing it right. Instead of the idea that actually, yeah, life is sometimes just like that, right? Like it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, I hope you don't mind me throwing out a little religious reference, but to everything there is a season, right? Now, of course, I can only remember the one about stones, the time to cast away stones, time to gather stones together. Of course, I remember the most controversial one. I gotta be me. I gotta be me. What else can I be but what I am? Which is sometimes a wallowing Pisces. I'm not really wallowing. I'm just laughing at myself at this point. But really, even ancient texts, ancient sacred texts. No. Sometimes life is just like that, right? Sometimes things just happen. So to have a little latitude, and I'm not saying bow down or become a doormat, but to accept the fact that sometimes life is hard. Sometimes life is just not easy. Sometimes life is just not, sometimes it's just ugh, right? It's just meh. And if you want it to be different, of course, you have many practices in your toolkit to change that, right? You have gratitude, appreciation, nature, going and being of service, going and helping somebody, calling somebody who loves you and sharing your woes with them, telling jokes, laughing at jokes, doing stand-up, laughing at stand-up, watching a silly, dumb movie, turning on music and dancing, right? Turning on some Whitney Houston and I Want to Dance with Somebody and just listening to that 80s synth, ba-bum, ba-dum, bum, bum, poo-ha-cha, ding, right? You know what I'm talking about. The opening to I Want to Dance with Somebody, right? Just letting yourself have a little, play hooky, right? Have a little, take a day off. I work a lot and I love to work a lot. But last night I just hit a wall and I had plans to work. There were things I was going to do. And I was like, I just don't have it in me anymore. I just don't. My energy just wasn't there. And my husband was like, great, let's watch Shin Godzilla. And I was like, I don't know. Like, it's not my normal go-to of a movie. Like, look, if it were my nephew and not my husband, I would be like, absolutely. Because I love with my nieces and nephews to do what they're interested in. But for some reason, when it's my husband, I'm like, yeah. But I thought, I looked at the log line. I thought, yeah, sure. It looks kind of fun. And I said, okay, I'm going to not work. And Carla goes, let's just have fun. Live a little, Erin. And I was like, you know what? I am going to live a little by watching a Japanese film about Godzilla. And it was pretty fun. It was pretty weird, right, for me. It was fun to compare different filmmaking styles. Because it was, like, sometimes scary, but sometimes I was like, okay, is it funny or is it just lost in translation? Like, I couldn't tell if it was funny on purpose or if I was just getting something weird about the translation. But it was very enjoyable. And I know it's such a dumb example, but it's so easy sometimes, right? It's so easy. It's so easy to fall in love with your life. We just forget. We just forget. And life isn't always easy. It's so easy, but it's not, right? Life isn't easy, but a Pisces can be. Ha ha, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. But on the other hand, it can be at least available, right? To remember, wait a minute. I did not set out to be this crabby, angry person. Am I happy being crabby and angry? Well, then go to, sir. But if I'm not happy being crabby and angry, I just want to be justified. Is that what I really want? What do I really want? I really want my pain to go away. And we'll get to that in a minute. And I really want just to have a little more fun. So here I am in this situation. How could I make it a little more fun, joyful, easier, right? We go back to that tool. Befriend the situation, right? Befriend life. Befriend the situation. Now, again, like if this, like, so for example, this gets really weird when we get into things that are difficult to deal with, right? Like, chronic pain is easy for me to talk about because I'm extremely familiar with it. I used to help people with it as a massage therapist for many years, and then I got it my own. And sometimes when you live with chronic pain or a disability, or, for example, people with eating disorders, bad body image, right? I remember when I was going through recovery, my therapist once saying, you know, you don't have to have a good body image to love and take care of your body. And you don't always have to go from A to Z. You can just start with, I appreciate my body. I'm going to befriend my body. And I find that advice really helpful now when I'm dealing with chronic pain to be like, I mean, I'm in this situation. I have chronic pain. It's not easy to deal with. Some day, like today, is worse than most days. Most days I'm actually pretty, you know, I've found a few techniques to cope or to deal. And I'm on a couple of interesting medications and supplements that help. And we can talk about that, but everyone's got their own journey, right? But to befriend my body, to not disconnect from it, to not get angry at it, to not hate it, to not disown it, to not reject it, but to say, hey, body, I love you. I love you. Isn't that one of the principles behind EFT tapping, right? We could just do a little tapping. Even though I have this chronic pain, I completely love and accept myself, right? We could go through all the points. Even though I'm having this crabby blue day on the side of your palm, right? Even though I'm having this crappy day, a tap on your, just above your eyebrows. And even though things aren't going my way, tap on the side of your temples. And even tapping on my temples kind of hurts, tap under your eyes. Even though I have all of this kind of crap going on, tap under your nose. And I want to fall back on the habit of being angry or crabby or justified in my bad mood, or tap on your chin, a victim, or whatever the I'm trying to protect myself from actually feeling, tap on your collarbone. I completely love and accept myself. Tap underneath your armpits. And I'm open to healing. Tap above your eyebrows, or tap on the top of your head. Tap on the top of your head. I'm open to healing. Tap above your eyebrows. I'm open to the experience I'm having with my body right now. Tap on your temples. I'm open to the fact that I'm not loving the experience I'm having with my body right now. Tap under your eyes. And I don't want to lie about that. I don't want to pretend. I want to be real. Tap under your nose. And it's okay to admit I'm really not in a super great place right now. Tap on your chin. And life isn't exactly wonderful right now. Tap on your collarbone. And maybe I'll move out of this feeling, tap under your armpits, and maybe I won't, tap on the top of your head, but I completely love and accept myself. Tap on your eyebrows, above your eyebrows. Maybe I'm starting to feel better, tap on your temples. Maybe I really am, actually, tap under your eyes. And maybe I'm not, tap under your nose. Whether I'm feeling better, tap on your chin, or whether I'm not, tap on your collarbone. I'm willing to feel better. Tap into your armpits, and I completely love and accept myself. Tap on the top of your head. Definitely willing to hand the pain over. Tap on above your eyebrows. Definitely willing to hand over my crabbiness, or tap on your temples. Anything that no longer serves me. Maybe I want to be crabby because it helps me with boundaries, but tap into your eyes. But I don't want to infect other people. Tap under your nose. But it is fun to be snarky sometimes. Tap on your chin. So I want to be able to be myself. Tap on your collarbone. But I also want to be myself and not always have to be like dealing with such a difficult day. Tap on your armpits. So I'm kind of willing to look at other ways, like other perspectives around this. Tap your head. And I completely love and accept myself. Tap above your eyebrows. Now, I'm shocked, but I'm feeling better. Tap on your temple. I can't believe that crazy lady Erin did this with me on the radio. Tap under your eyes. And I started doing it with her because I figured, why the heck not? Tap under my nose. And all of a sudden, I actually do feel a little bit better. Tap on my chin. And I can still feel the pain and the stiffness. But for some reason, tap on your collarbone. It's not as bad. Tap under your armpits. And I completely love and accept myself. Tap on the crown of my head. I actually really do completely love and accept myself. Tap on my above my eyebrows. Look, I could come up with all kinds of ways I don't completely love and accept myself. Tap on my temple. But the truth of the matter is that underneath all of that, tap under your eyes, I really just want love. Tap under my nose. And even if I'm feeling like crying or I'm feeling sad, tap on my chin. I welcome all these emotions and all these experiences of life. Tap on my collarbone because I completely love and accept myself. Tap under my armpits. And I actually want to feel good now. Tap on your top of your head. I completely love and accept myself. I did not expect I was going to lead us through an EFT tapping session, but just if you did it with me, just take a moment, take a deep breath in. See how you feel. I myself, I went from a 7 to a 5.5 on the pain scale. My crabbiness, unfortunately, has gone from a 9 to a 3 because it is kind of fun to be crabby because when I'm snarky, I'm funny. I think I'm funny. Actually, I know that I have some friends who love when I deliver what they call high dudgeon with a comedic tone, but, you know, it's not for everyone. But this point of befriending your life. You know, so many of us are so disconnected from our bodies. And we, especially in this world where we really focus on the exterior, we focus on losing weight to look a certain way, looking younger. I'm not against any of this. Whatever you want, right? Botox and injections, all good. Whatever you want to do. But our bodies have so much wisdom, so much love to share with us. So when you focus on the inside and you befriend your body and you befriend your heart, you even befriend the pain because it's giving you information. There's a very weird thing that happens spiritually when you befriend the pain. Not like you harm yourself or want more, but that you learn to live with it in a way and say, okay, I'm willing to love you. I'm going to cry when I say that. Because it hurts, right? But I'm willing to love you and befriend you. Maybe you could move into a different home. But let me help you move into a different home if that's possible. But something happens where when you befriend that problem, your ego stops focusing on all the ways that it's supposed to be but isn't. And you're a lot less anxiety-ridden and angry about it. You might still be angry, and that's okay, but meaning, yeah, you shouldn't have to live with pain, but guess what? Many people will. Yeah, you shouldn't have to have a hard life, but guess what? That's the nature of life. Life is sometimes that way, right? Life be that way sometimes. So that when you can slow your mind down, the thoughts around what it's supposed to be like, separate from what you want, right? Because what it's supposed to be like and what you want aren't the same thing necessarily. What it's supposed to be like comes from your ego and your history and all of these ideas that you indoctrinated into yourself without, or that were incepted into you that weren't necessarily based on reality, right? I mean, it's easy to see when we talk about like politics or anything like that, because you, if you have a political opinion and somebody has the opposite political opinion and you think they're wrong, it's because you think there's a way the world should be, but they also think that their opinion is right and your opinion is wrong and that there's a way the world should be, right? Ooh. What a conundrum. But when it's ourselves, it's a little harder to uncover, and besides, who really wants to do that, right? Well, for better or for worse, I do, because I know that it helps me. It releases me. It liberates me. So befriending your life, befriending the situation, especially if it's something like dealing with yourself or another person. Because if you're really angry at someone, I don't know if you've noticed, but that's not always the best plan for getting someone to behave, right? Have you ever, maybe sometimes, like, I mean, definitely when I first got my dog, Henry, and he was learning how to not go to the bathroom in the house, one time I just yelled at him really loud and bad, and then he just stopped pooping and peeing in the house unless it was a total emergency, like the dog walker didn't show up one day or something, right? So it's not that it doesn't work, but repeatedly over time, no. That will actually create a negative charge and negatively affect your abilities to heal And also, to be honest, with my dog, generally speaking, my dog just wanted to please me and my husband. He just wanted to be next to us and eat treats and go for walks and play. He wasn't, right? So when we just told him what to do, he was happy to do it. And it's so cute because we taught him all these tricks, right? We taught him to sit, lie down. Well, he didn't like rolling over. He hated being on his back. So he would walk in a circle instead of roll over. We taught him to jump and we taught him to shake. So sometimes if he wanted a treat, he would just come up to one of us and he would literally sit, lie down, walk in a circle, jump and shake. We trained him so well so that he would, you know, and he wasn't allowed to always have treats. He can't have treats all day long. So I would give him a good scruff behind the ears or spend time with him sometimes instead of a food treat. But I miss that dog. It must be time for me to get a new one soon. It's just I've got too many travel plans coming up that I don't feel like I have time. But right. So think about yourself. Right. Befriend your life, befriend yourself, self-compassion. So when you pay attention to how your body feels, where and when it hurts, where and when you have issues, illness, however mild or severe it is, a lot of these things, you know, this is Louise Hay's work, right? We can start to look at the psycho-spiritual underpinnings, and I just felt my inner ego go say, no, not that. Right? My own ego is like, I don't want to look at why you have chronic pain, Erin, because then I have to change, even if it's too late on the pain, and maybe it is and maybe it isn't, because the ego will have you think it's too late. Ah, well, it's too late, baby, now it's too late. No, we don't know that. You don't know. Okay, so what else can we do when we are, I mentioned, you know, turning on music and dancing. Dancing is great. But also, when life is giving you lemons and you want to make lemonade, I think in general, moving your body, maybe a nice walk, a stroll, yoga, any healing movements, you know, like there are all these different kinds of healing movements, that are based in the divine feminine of swirling the hips, you know, or moving your body in a, like doing sensual dance. I just think moving your body, depending on what you like to do, you know, going for a bike ride, going kickboxing, moving your body actually can really change your mood. So, okay, I should have been keeping a list. It's fine. I was going to say, because we also talked about connecting with somebody. But I remember in college, I was considering taking a master's degree in this one particular form of healing based on the idea that where people have dysfunction in their bodies can be corrected by recreating the different way. Okay, so let me start this over. From conception to ambulation, the cells of a human body have specific patterns and growth patterns. And as movements and certain movements are performed by, you know, from fetal birthed child to really until you're walking and even beyond then, certain movements actually mimic and create and are corresponding to certain neurological pathways, certain emotional development, certain intellectual developments, right? And if we can mimic some of the movements of the body associated with that neurological or psychological or emotional development and build strength in those areas or mimic those movements therapeutically, we can find a way to also therapeutically rehabilitate or enhance our lives emotionally, psychologically, intellectually, developmentally. It was an interesting sort of newish study back then. But I think it's something that we can take now if you think about yoga, especially yin yoga. If you're having a bad day, child's pose can actually reset your system and raise your mood, right? So really, I remember when I was a little kid and I had anger management problems, sometimes my mom would say, okay, curl into a ball. And I would get into a fetal position and I would just breathe there for a while until I calmed down, and it actually really helped me, right? Well, it's a similar thing with child's pose. Connecting with nature, trees, flowers, growing plants when you can, but also this is why things like flower essences, color therapy, and crystals, right? Crystals can be helpful. So if I take this beautiful rose quartz I have here right in front of my desk and I just hold it to my heart for a while. Now, this is a crystal I use for the divine feminine. But we could find crystals, for example, for whatever your mishigas is, right? Whatever your frustration is, whatever your blech is, whatever your pain is, whatever's going on with you. Sometimes there's also water therapies, right? Taking a nice long hot shower, taking a nice long hot bath, going for a swim. The ways that we can use water to wash away what no longer serves us, right? And I would also say acts of kindness for yourself. Cooking yourself a beautiful meal or taking yourself out, sure, but I actually really think there's more value if you enjoy cooking and cooking yourself a really beautiful meal, because you can infuse the part in which you're cooking with joy, healing, thoughtfulness, compassion, right? That you are infusing the food itself with healing and high vibrational frequency. I feel like these are things that are so simple that we can do ourselves and that we kind of forget, right? We forget. Another thing is guided meditations, prayer, music, of course, and any passion, any hobby. I feel that all of these different techniques can really help what is, in a way, getting back to what we talked about in the beginning, help us also with surrender, right? I know people don't always love surrender. There's this passage in Marianne Williamson's A Return to Love, and she says, until your knees finally hit the floor, you're just playing at life. And on some level, you're scared because you know you're just playing. That lady is so wise, isn't she? I'm going to read that again. Until your knees finally hit the floor, you're just playing at life. And on some level, you're scared because you know you're just playing. The moment of surrender is not when life is over, it's when it begins. Look, I know that sounds hard to accept, like, oh, I'm too proud, or yes, Erin, but just not in this one area, or like, I'm not going to give up, and I'm not talking about giving up, right? I'm not talking about giving up on your dreams or your possibilities or your hopes. This is different, right? Yeah. The moment that you can surrender is the moment that you can be renewed and remember that, oh yeah, there might be a whole other way of living. And maybe I'm surrendering 18 times a day when it's hard and once a week when it's not hard. But even when it's not hard, understanding that you are fortunate, right? I think about how fortunate I am, and I think about how hard I fought, how hard I have fought for the things in my life. I have fought hard for my relationship. I have fought hard to honor my gifts and talents. I have fought hard to overcome eating disorders and depression and bad relationships and drama. I have fought hard. I continue to fight hard, although I don't want to fight so hard anymore. I don't have the same level of energy, but I'm still committed. I'm committed. And I'm fortunate. I'm fortunate because I think a lot of it is because of spirit, because I surrendered and I said, Spirit, guide me. So I'm willing to do my part. I am. Guide me. Guide me. Guide me. Right? It is, in a way, the strongest thing that you can do, especially in this world, where we're supposed to always be so of ourselves and self-capable. And I can do it myself. And boy, let me tell you, I went from being somebody who schlepped around a 40-pound massage table, no problem, to somebody who can barely carry a purse on one arm, right? It's no longer feasible for me to carry heavy things. I have to surrender. But this way I shall not do further damage. Now, that's a silly example. Well, it's actually a very real physical example. But I am saying, for me, surrender is in a way the strongest and actually maybe most subversive thing that you can do, because it takes strength to admit that you are weak, right? It takes bravery to show you're vulnerable, and it takes courage to ask for help. And it just isn't this one-time thing, right? It's like, I think a lot of us who are in the spiritual world got in because we were hoping we would have these, we would become enlightened, have these spiritual aha moments, and then it would just all be smooth sailing from then on out, and everything would be perfect. Then we would get the guy, we get the job, we get the money, we get the body, we get the face. Well, I don't know how that's working out for you, but over here, it's a little different than what I'm not sure if I ever thought that, or that was just sort of like laid it in, like some sort of, you know, commercial or something, right? But isn't that how commercials work? Like, you know, if you eat this hamburger, you will be so happy and satisfied. If you go on this drug, you will be so happy, and you will be surrounded by many people in pastels smiling and playing bocce ball. If you go and eat this cereal, you will be very healthy and pretty and have a very handsome partner. Or, right? Like all these things that were promised via advertising, and why, you know, that's in our consciousness is what I'm saying. So even if, here's Marianne Williamson saying, hold up, folks, right? Here's me saying, yeah, no, mm-mm. Because through experience, I have the wisdom to know it's just not the case that now I've got it all figured out. No, it's a practice, a way of existing. And when days are crappy or things aren't going my way, whether it's big and profound or just kind of mundane, right? Just kind of mundane. My house is a mess and I'm frustrated with it. I'm so tired of living in a messy house. And I clean and I clean and I clean, but part of it is the house. Part of it is the other occupants. And part of it is that the truth is I only have like 15 minutes a day, so I really don't clean hours a day, right? And I can't bring myself to get rid of my to-be-read pile of books, which is now in the thousands, because I'm like, no, I'm going to read those. I am. I hope, before I die. So, okay. So, here we are. Have you ever played that Abraham Hicks manifesting game? Well, you can do it with things that aren't fun, right? Like, well, I have to go get a colonoscopy. Well, I have a terrible day. So the manifesting game I was referring to is one where they say all the things that you want or all the things you have to do today, right? It's the time management one. And you write, here's me. Can you hear this? Opening up my notebook. Ooh, sound effects. And I'm writing down, like, on the left-hand side is Aaron's to-do list. And then on the right-hand side, I'm writing down spirit/universe to-do list. Because what I'm ultimately doing, I mean, of course I can tell spirit what I want, but then I'm surrendering it, right? It's like going to a restaurant. If you order pancakes, that restaurant's going to make pancakes the way that restaurant makes pancakes. So pancakes at Norm's Diner, which is where my husband loves to go. Well, they're actually really good, but they're going to be very different than the whole wheat vegan pancakes at Real Food Daily, where I like to go. I like going to both places. But my husband definitely prefers Norm's over Real Food Daily because he doesn't eat pancakes ever, except for like once every 3 months. And then he likes to, and then it, for him, he's like, no, I just want to go. He calls it American breakfast, have American breakfast and cheat on my diet because he's always eating like a bodybuilder, except for once a week. So, right. So I'm just saying like the way I might do something, the way Spirit does something are might look a little different. But here's Aaron's to-do list. My 1-2 radio show. Later, I have an appointment, so I have to walk myself over to my appointment this afternoon. Spirit, bring me some lovely clients on 1-2 Listen, please, and please remove my pain and help me finish my deadlines on my creative projects. I myself will do work on those creative projects. I'm asking Spirit to inspire me so that I get them done by the deadline, right? Because it's like, I'll do my part, I'll show up. And then a certain amount of it is just not mine to do. And in fact, you know, I could almost move this radio show over to Spirit, right? I just needed to show up and get real about what's going on in my life and share the tools that I've learned and share the things that I've learned about how to deal with what's going on in my life, or show up and somebody, often what happens is one of you emails me or one of my clients is mentioning something that then another client mentions, and I go, oh, well, if two people mention it in one day or three people mention it in 1 week, that's something going on for us to talk about on my 1-2 radio show, right? But that power of surrender, it's almost like you know that you're not walking alone anymore. Even if you don't believe in, even if you're like an atheist, right? You can still be open to the power of, or the possibility of something beyond the individual, even if it's just the positive side of a collective consciousness. Because the collective consciousness, of course, is going to have both positive and negative issues. But even if you're like, all right, I'm going to dip into this collective consciousness and ask the collective consciousness to help me out on this. I'm going to help ask all of nature, all that ever existed, to help me out with this. All the frequencies that I don't even necessarily understand because I'm not a physicist. I'm just going to ask it all to help so that I'm not doing this alone. I'm going to surrender to whatever is unfolding. I'm going to accept what is. And by being with reality, by being with nature, being here with what is, giving up on the outcome. Oh, God, don't say that. But yeah, right? And I'm, again, right? Like pursuing your dreams, but just letting life flow the way it's meant to. Stepping out of your own way, right? Letting the natural order help you. Because this way you get a break from the exhaustion. This way you get a break from the control drama, right? Having to control everything. God, how does that work out for you? But also, you get to experience life a little more instead of, you know, whatever you think life owes you. Now, I remember years ago, I had the spiritual teacher who said, you know, life is so much better than whatever you think it owes you. And I was the exception to that because I have one of the world's greatest imaginations. I sound so arrogant when I say that. I'm telling you, because I lived so much of my childhood in fantasy, it was my coping mechanism from the pain in my life. I spun the most beautiful stories. I had entire worlds in my mind. And sometimes I would be like, I cannot wait to get home from volleyball practice so that I can go spend time in my imaginary world. I loved it. It was amazing. And I still have that imaginary world, but I have to be careful because somewhere along the lines in my teens and 20s, I started preferring my imaginary world to the real world. Because guess what? My imaginary world was better. So when my spiritual teacher would say things to me like, oh, what life wants to give you is so much better than what you think it owes you, I was like, no, actually, my fantasy world is better. And she said, yes, Erin, I believe you, although I wouldn't believe most people, but I believe you that your fantasy world is better than the real world. But guess what? You weren't born into the fantasy. You were born into this body, into this life, into this world. So don't you think there's a reason for that? And I always wanted, before she said that to me, and when she said that to me, I always felt like, no, I'm not here. I'm not supposed to be here. Like, Being here is so painful. I'm not supposed to be here. But I just kept ruminating on it. And I uncovered for myself that, in fact, yes, I was born on purpose. For a variety of reasons. We could say because my parents wanted a kid. We could say because my parents had sex. We could say because there's some divine purpose for which I'm here, and a destiny and different lives I'm meant to touch as I in all my capacities. We could say simply by the mere dint of the fact that I am here, I'm on purpose. I'm here. It's a done deal. So because I was born into this body, and I want to cry again because it's like I was born into this body and I was born into this presence, into this lifetime, into this world, for all its ills and all its good, I'm here on purpose. Why not let myself have life? Why not let myself live my actual life, which includes my fantasy life and my imagination, but it does not, or I do not wish for that to now be at the exclusion of all else. I don't want to be any longer at that point in my life. I decided I no longer wanted to reject perfectly nice men as romantic partners simply because they didn't live up to my imagination. I mean, no one ever could. No one. Or to reject myself because I wasn't living up to my imagination. To reject my family, my friends, all of these things. Being with life. And that took for me surrender, but it also became this moment where I, the cosmos had always been romancing me. I'd always had a contact with the other side. But because I could live with life, with reality, with nature, and I continued to practice that, that's when the miracles really started, right? A simple one, all of my four-leaf clovers. I have found thousands, but being with nature. All right, friends. Well, we've come to the end of another episode of the Erin Carrera Show. If you want to come find me over on 1twolisten.com/Erin, that's Erin with an E. I would love to work with you. And until next week, I love you. Bye-bye.